All right, guys, we are in lesson 17. He's going to continue with this discussion about freedom. And remember, the whole issue arose concerning whether or not it was okay to eat meat offered to idols. So he's going to touch on that again. But with that, the overall issue, because for you and I, we're really not worried about when I go to Walmart or wherever you go to get your meat, whether that steak was offered to a false god or not. That's not even entering into your mind. You just say, oh, that's a good price, I'll buy it. You know what I'm saying? In their day, they were very much bothered by it because pagan, what we would call pagan, the worship of the gods was very much a part of their everyday lives. And so if you're leaving that and going to Christianity, you kind of wonder, can you do that? Or you're convinced you can't do it, but then the mature in Christ are saying, oh, it's not a problem, enjoy that T-bone. You know what I'm saying? Enjoy that steak or that roast. It's not going to be an issue. But Paul's trying to find the balance there and trying to help us to understand while we may have freedoms, our freedoms have limits. And that's actually a universal principle. Freedoms have limits. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to look at chapter 10, verses 23 through chapter 11, verse 1. So I want you to notice with me verse 23 and 24. Here's what Paul writes. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Now no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Okay? So let's take a look at that. First, we're going to see the limits on freedom, okay? Corinthians felt that they had the freedom to do anything, okay? They felt that now that they're in Christ, they can do whatever they wanted to do, okay? And let's be honest, that's a part of our culture. You have the freedom to do whatever, and we see that today. Whether you're bothered by it or not, it really doesn't matter. Our culture says, whatever you want to do, baby, just do it, okay? And the Corinthians had the same attitude and same idea. Now, some of it may have been cultural for them, because you remember, Corinth was a boom town, kind of like the Las Vegas, except on steroids, okay, of its day, all right? And so people just did whatever. And so they felt that they had the freedom, so it kind of carried over into their church life. It carried over into their walk with God. They felt that they had the freedom to do anything. Now, you can almost see why they would think that. Why do you think they would, especially being a believer, why do you think that that's what enter into their mind that it's okay? Anybody? What's that? All about grace. Okay, grace meaning I'm forgiven. Okay, so there's forgiveness. There's no judgment. I'll just do what I got. I can do whatever I want to do. Okay? So that's basically the attitude. And would you say it's others-minded or self-focused? Self-focused, okay? Self-focused. All right, so here's what he's saying. Paul points out that not everything is beneficial. Okay? You may have the freedom. Okay? To go do whatever. But you and I know that's not beneficial, right? Okay? It's not really beneficial. So, for instance, I love, well, there's a lot of things I love. I love a certain kind of cake with vanilla icing on it. I love cheesecake. I have the freedom to basically eat that every meal if I wanted to. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there are times when I want to, okay? So, but is that beneficial for me? No, not especially not right now when I'm pre-diabetic. That's not, that's not beneficial. There are things that you are allowed to do, but it's not beneficial. In fact, he poses it this way. He says, all things are lawful. Okay, we all agree with that. But not all things are helpful. They're not necessarily helpful to you. He continues on. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Now, that's more than just building up you. That means the implication of that towards others, okay? Towards others. So not everything is beneficial. So what he says here, and this is the point, Paul points out that our freedom is limited by our love for others. That's got to be the thing that binds you as a believer. You can do whatever you want to. Well, you might think you can do whatever you want to. But the point is, your freedom has to be constrained. By what? Love. Love for other people. For what's beneficial for them, okay? Now, some of you look like you got a thought on your brain. What are you thinking? Anybody? Got a question or a thought so far? Okay, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Okay, all right, that's a good way of putting it, okay? Anybody else with a thought? He's basically saying, the Corinthians are saying, I can do whatever. He's saying, well, you know, that's true, but it's not necessarily beneficial. It's not necessarily good. And it may not be good for others, okay? How do you feel about that, that he's constraining your freedom? How do you feel about that? Okay, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then later he would say in the law, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, all right, so it's reflective of what Jesus would say are the two greatest commandments. And if you remember what Jesus said, upon this all the law and prophets hinge. This is the basis of spiritual life, is to love God and to love other people. Okay? To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the real spiritual ones, remember when Jesus was challenged by that, the Pharisees said, well, who's my neighbor? You know what I'm saying? Because they had theological arguments trying to define who your neighbor was. So then Jesus uses the illustration of somebody who's despised by the Jews, a Samaritan, who they would have no contact with, and illustrates that that guy knew what it was to be a good neighbor. Did you understand? And his point was, we're to love other people, period, whether we like them or not, okay? And we should be binding our freedoms for them, okay? Our freedoms as Christians. So then he gets back to the issue of meat. Are you kidding me, George? No. He's getting back to the issue of meat, and we're going to talk about how it applies to us. So look with me at verse 25. Here's what he says. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the grounds of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the grounds of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by somebody else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks. All right, so let's talk about meat now. He's raising a couple of interesting things here. He's kind of giving some practical advice of what to do. Okay, so here's what he says. First of all, he tells them it's okay to buy meat in the market. It's okay to buy meat in the market. That's where you get meat, right? Hopefully, not out of out of somebody's trunk, right? You get it in a market, right? It would be the same thing, not out of somebody's ox cart, you know what I'm saying? You get it in a market. Now, here's what he's saying. He tells them not to bother asking where it came from. Because that's where the problem lies. So let's say Rob is our steak salesman here in Kerwinsville, okay? And I want to buy some fresh steaks from Rob. So I go see Rob, and I say, what you got, Rob? He says, oh, I got some sirloin. I've got some New York strip. I say, oh, yeah, New York strip. Let me take a look at that. Oh, that looks really good. Now, I shouldn't ask, Paul says, in their day, so where did that New York strip come from, Rob? And Rob would say, oh, from the temple of Zeus. It was a sacrifice. He said, for the sake of conscience, don't ask. Just eat it. Because once he tells me it's from the temple of Zeus, for the sake of other Christian brothers, should I buy it? No, for the weaker brother, I shouldn't buy it, right? Yeah, for the unbeliever. That's right, Bruce, because it does say that. In a moment, it's going to say that for the unbelieving host that has you over. Why? Because you want to make a distinction between what you believe and what he believes. So don't bother asking. Just eat it.
So what happens if you eat it, then he tells you? You choke him out.
Well, you know, that's getting too fine a detail. He's okay.